This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
One of these stupid shows is showing the turkeys, basically, where the Ritz-Carlton, the W.
And the Four Seasons.
My God, what are their
names?
Room
I could never afford.
What are their names again? Peaches?
We got Peach.
Peach.
And Blossom.
Peach and Blossom.
The pride of Northfield, Minnesota.
Chad. I hope they're joking and take them out. I hope they're giving them the okie doke.
Wow. What's wrong with you?
I'm just sick of hearing about this story. We do this every year.
That's because Thanksgiving comes every year, Chad.
The Minnesota turkeys are part.
All right, your choice at this time of year are turkeys or airport volume. What do you want?
Neither. That's why we're talking to Adam Dunick, who is the president and CEO of the Minneapolis Downtown Business Council. He is with us to talk about what we have now with a new plan for the city's core. A 10-year plan to revive downtown Minneapolis. Adam, like all our guests, is with us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Adam, be honest, you don't care that the turkeys were pardoned, do you? You just don't care at all.
I really don't. But, Chad, I got to say, I'm a Wilmer native, grew up around Jennie-O turkey processing plants, love the turkey industry a lot. So I love this. I love this time of year, and I do love turkey dinner on Thanksgiving.
What a pivot. What a pivot that was.
Take that.
Okay. Now, I'm going to have ground turkey tonight, turkey tacos. Okay, I'm going to have that. But come on, just admit it. Even though Wilmer, I have numerous friends from Wilmer, turkey's kind of it's kind of dry and dull, right?
I'm a big fan. My kids would probably agree with you. They prefer ham to turkey.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. What if you surprised a kid with a little ham and a little brisket this year? They'd love it, right?
I like a little diversity.
Yes.
Turkey, no question about it.
All right, so let's talk about the plan, your 10-year plan. What is most different about your plan compared to the other options we've had offered up by the foundation and the mayor? Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people, and you know this, you live this every single day, have said, hey, what's going on in downtown Minneapolis? There are parts that are good. There are other parts that just aren't good enough. The things have changed and we have to adjust. What stands out most? What is most distinctive about your plan?
That's a great question. A lot of people ask, there's so much energy and effort going into downtown right now in terms of what is the next iteration of downtown going to be. And I would say, ours focuses on a couple of the baseline needs of a downtown, of a city, foundational safety being one. A second is, how do we offer hassle-free systems? How is downtown an easy place for a user to interact with, to come down and park, to take transit, to navigate? That could be navigated on the street. That could be navigated in the skyway. How can we do those foundational, fundamental things well, while also leaning into, I think, some strengths that we have? One is, our downtown has become one of the greatest neighborhoods in the city and in the region. When you think about the growth in North Loop and Mill District, downtown's always had a residential aspect in Loring Park and Elliott Park too, but weaving them all together and thinking about the Central Business District as a place for housing, which until recently really hasn't been under consideration. And that last part of our strength is, how do we take advantage of the arts, entertainment, nightlife, the downtown as a cultural hub. That's what's driven our recovery in the last year. Event attendance has been record for a couple of years in a row. Yeah, and that's so how do we exercise our strengths while also working on some of the challenges too? And downtown commercial real estate has been as hard hit, you know, not just in our city, in downtowns around the country, around the world.
Adam Dunick is with us from the Downtown Council to talk about their plan for the next 10 years. I haven't looked at the text yet, but Adam, I can guarantee you I'm already hearing I'm not going down there until it's safe. Mm-hmm. I'm down here 5 days a week. I am down here often another day to socialize. I feel like it's as safe as ever during the day, you know, and could we have something terrible happen today during the day? Yes, we could. We've had that 2012. We've had that 1972. At night, we have numerous areas that are flourishing, North Loop, Mill Valley, but we still have some of these areas where people used to be comfortable and are not as comfortable. How can you overcome not only the perception, but what role can the council play in adding to further safety, to further the numbers, to convince people who are skeptical to come back down?
That's a great question. Something I have heard from the first day I started this job, which was almost exactly 1 year ago, how do we make downtown safer? And I think the answer is it needs to be a multi-pronged approach. We need to continue to have the business community work with MPD, working with private security where we have that opportunity, working with Metro Transit Police. The entities that are responsible for policing need to be resourced, supported, and that just always hasn't always been the case the last few years. But even more important than the resources is also the amount of outreach that goes along with that. What we do with the Downtown Council is oversee the Downtown Improvement District. That includes ambassadors that welcome people downtown. That includes street response teams and our violence disruptor programs and the behavioral control response, those sorts of things, where it's not just police responding to everything. There's also an element of interaction on the street, an extra set of eyes and ears that helps to get ahead of things. Now, our downtown's inherently unsafe. In lots of cities, downtowns can be viewed that way or understood that way. But historically, downtown, especially within the last year, Minneapolis, it's been one of the safest parts of the city, safer at times in South Minneapolis or North Minneapolis. But people still have to feel that way, and we have to acknowledge that. And that's going to take all of us. That means, what can neighborhood safety do to help respond? What can business leaders, business owners do to be a part of the solution here?
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I know we're getting some text too. Overrated, underrated, properly rated, be a 135. This important conversation with Adam Dunick right here. Okay, so I think the numbers are about 58,000 live in downtown Minneapolis now. You'd like to get that to 100,000. I can look to my right and look to my left, Adam, where I am, and kind of the core of downtown Minneapolis, in a part of Minneapolis where it's not great, where there are office buildings. When I've been working downtown Minneapolis since 1990, where if they were already established, they were busy as can be. And starting with COVID and with safety questions, with the suburbs emerging, they're just not going to be as busy on the business side. How many of these buildings do you believe can be turned into condos, can be turned into apartments, that they have the infrastructure and you also have the demand. So people, if these are either maintained by the same ownership or they're sold and they're going to spend tens of millions of dollars, that people are going to want to live in these former office buildings, which are now turned into residential units.
Yeah, there's a couple things I'd say about that. One is we have an opportunity to convert some properties into residential. It's happening right now. You have the North Star Center and the Groove Lofts, which are set to open here in December, and excited about that.
Across the street from us.
Right, exactly. There's a few other buildings with that potential. But there are some buildings where the footprint just doesn't make sense for that, and we have to think about attracting businesses here. We have to think about other alternative uses in some cases. What are some industries we don't really have downtown? You think about cities our size. A lot of cities close to our size are a little bit bigger, have a big university presence or have higher education downtown. How do we think about luring some tenants like that? And we have the downtown business community to support that. Very few downtowns have as much Fortune 500 activity and as much business presence as we do. So that's an opportunity. What other uses can take place in these buildings is another thing we're constantly thinking about. That includes arts use, that includes retail or rethinking retail, that includes an experience. So one of the buildings that's done really well is the building down by Washington Avenue where there's a puttery where people come in downtown and play golf and have an experience and go out. What are some other uses of some of these spaces? And granted, we have a lot of square footage, but we think converting is something that could happen in a big way, converting the housing. Anywhere from 2 to 3 million square feet of conversion could help meet that downtown population goal. And once there's residents in place, that's what's going to drive the retail, because there'll be the people in downtown all the time, 24/7, not just coming down to work 9 to 5.
Okay, so let me pick up on that, the cool factor, the unique factor. You know, I know you've talked about a skating rink. You know, I've said for a while, I think if we had a larger green space, these are, I know these are more on the margins, but like I went down to the North Loop, the green space this weekend to the European market with my youngest son and had a great time, right? You mention it. We know if there are concerts, we know if the Vikings are down, we know the Wolves are selling at a pretty high level. The Twins did not. Some of that was tied to their perception by salary. But how much does it have to be, hey, there's something fun, there's something unique? And by the way, it's not just what is fun, unique now. It is something different that is additive in the next 10 years.
Absolutely. And that to me is where I think Nicollet Mall is the opportunity. We have a chance to take the buses off of Nicollet, move them somewhere close so there's still transit access, but do the pedestrianization the way it was originally envisioned, with the green space, with the trees, with the better landscaping, with it being almost a park-like experience and a pedestrian experience at once. This would become a destination for people to come visit. We could connect Loring Park with the river by essentially making Nicollet Mall a green space. And we can not only do that from a perspective of bringing people down there, then that offers us an opportunity to program that space with things like markets, with live music, with other event type programming that we've had a pretty good amount of success in the last year when you think about the U.S. gymnastics trials and the great attraction down there and the market down there. And I'm hoping Holidazzle is a huge success here in December. So if we try these things out, they work well. It can have both a tourism impact, it could be a regional destination, a statewide destination. It could also help with the commercial office space downtown, who that's what they really are asking for, is more green space. Like that North Loop Greens building is highly utilized already, and it's really an exciting opportunity.
I like it. Adam, thanks for coming on. We'll reach out again and have a very happy Thanksgiving.
You too, Chad. Thanks for the conversation.
Adam Dunick, Minneapolis Downtown Council. Okay. It can't be just I won't come downtown. If you feel that way, that's fine, okay? I think you're missing out. I really do. But I'm talking about our next segment here. To get you to come downtown, along with safety, let's just acknowledge that safety has to improve in parts of downtown. If you think all of downtown is not safe, let me answer it this way. You're wrong. You're just wrong, Dave. During the day, you concern at all?
No.
Zero. At night, there's many places that, yes, every once in a while something happens, but it's rare. There are the parts where it's still too much. I agree. So let's separate. I don't come downtown, and it's not safe. Okay? Because you're just out. For you who wants to come downtown, or you come downtown now and you want to come downtown more, what should change the next 10 years regarding the economic engine for the state of Minnesota? It's Minneapolis. In particular, it's downtown Minneapolis. Because, by the way, this isn't like, oh, Minneapolis is the only one facing it. All downtowns all across America, really all across the globe because of the pandemic, are facing this. So let's not just, oh, Minneapolis is the outlier. It's not. If you could add something downtown and you think it would be helpful, maybe it's not even just for you, but it's for the overall good and people. What is it? Text or call 651-461-9226 on CCO.